want your reaction to the Jeff Carter trade. The Penguins get Jeff Carter from Los Angeles for a third-round pick in 2022 and a fourth-round pick in 2023. The Kings keep half of Carter's cap hit, and that's about $2.6 million. This trade has a lot of moving parts, but I want your reaction. Dial 412-333-WXDX. Where does Carter fit in? Does he make the Penguins more of a legit Stanley Cup contender? Because honestly, I am not sure what I think about this trade. I don't hate it. I don't love it. Is Carter Bill Guerin in 2009? Or is he Patrick Marleau in 2020? Is Carter a right wing or a center? He's traditionally a center, but he played mostly right wing in LA this year. Is getting Carter insurance in case Gino doesn't come back? And will Gino come back? Carter is 36. He's got one more year on his contract after this. He's only making $2 million per year. The cap hit is higher, but that's the average annual value. A lot of people think Carter will retire after this season. Carter can still skate. He's 6'4", and he can move, but his finishing is off. He has 8 goals in 40 games. Carter is traditionally an okay faceoff guy, but not so much this year at just 46%. Carter is a winner, 2 cups with LA, but the Penguins don't need guidance in that department. Who's going to sit when everyone is healthy? But with all the injuries the Penguins sustain, and it really is an endless parade, perhaps that will never be a worry. Hextall wanted to restock the system. Now he's traded 2 draft picks. He could make trades in the offseason to get picks. In fact, I expect that. Trading a 3rd and a 4th seems like no big deal, but that bill always comes due. Drafting isn't about quantity of picks. Drafting isn't just about quality of picks, it's also about quantity. You throw crap at the wall, so you need as much crap as possible. Gensel, Letang, and Rust were all 3rd-round picks. That 3rd-round pick, by the way, could become a 2nd-round pick if the Penguins reach the Cup Final and Carter plays in 50% of the games. If that happens, nobody has a complaint. Carter's 6'4", like I said, but he doesn't play big. It's kind of ironic that when Ron Hextall made his first trade, he got a player who is a typical Penguin. He's big at 6'4", but he's not tough. He's a typical Penguin. It's also ironic that this trade is exactly the kind of trade Jim Rutherford would make. Exactly. Don't worry about chemistry being disrupted. Chemistry is a sign after the fact. It's 90% fictional. You never hear about a good team with bad chemistry or vice versa. Carter, 36, had core muscle surgery just last year, and he had a pretty bad leg injury in 2017. A laceration from a skate and the complications limited Carter to just 27 games in the 2017-18 season. Carter's okay now, but at 36, that crap can tend to add up. The big debate now is the line combinations. Who plays with who? Okay, let's say that by some friggin' miracle, everybody is healthy for the playoffs. I'd go with Gensel, Crosby, Rust, McCann, Malkin, Kapanen, Zucker, Carter, Rodriguez, Zach Aston Reese, Bluger, and Tanev. And then Freddie Gaudreau is my first guy in when somebody gets hurt. And, of course, he just got hurt, and Tanev just went on long-term injured reserve. This deal could finally give the Penguins their dream, which is have the Bluger line be the 4th line, like the Cizikas line is with the New York Islanders. If everybody is healthy, that's a good lineup. On the power play, yeah, Carter's played there, but I can't take McCann off the power play. McCann is the reason the Penguins' power play is better, but they will take him off the first unit, and I'll talk more about that later. Not for Carter, but for Malkin when he returns. I still don't see the Penguins as a team that can win the Stanley Cup, but that's so tough to call. How many teams do you look at and say, this team can win the Stanley Cup? In 91, I didn't feel that way about the Penguins. They missed the playoffs the year before, and Mario was coming off back surgery. In 92, yeah, as defending champions, I kind of figured. In 09, after making the final the year before, a championship seemed a very real possibility. In 16, no way. I thought the window was closed. In 17, yeah, because they just won the year before. So the point is you can't often tell. I can see the Penguins getting out of the East. I think that division's up for grabs because it's not as good as advertised before the season. But I can't see the Penguins beating Tampa in a series or Vegas or Colorado. So I need your reaction to the trade. Penguins got Jeff Carter, 36 years old, center and right wing. Former Philadelphia Flyer as well. He comes over from the LA Kings for a conditional third-round pick in 2022 and a conditional fourth-round pick in 2023. The other big deal in the division, at least that we know of, is that, Toronto just made a trade. They got Ben Hutton, defenseman from Anaheim. Boy, they're going all in to try to win this year. They won't. The other big deal in the East Division is that Boston got Taylor Hall, as was speculated. But Taylor Hall sucks. He's got 2 goals all year. His shooting percentage is crap. He couldn't hit the broadside of a barn with a fistful of peanuts. And Taylor Hall is a douchebag besides. I get the risk, but the Bruins won't reap much reward. They need secondary scoring. I just don't know that a guy with 2 goals to date this season, no matter what he did back in New Jersey when he got MVP, you're getting Taylor Hall now, not Taylor Hall then. So the East Division is a crapshoot, kids. That's the part I do like. The Penguins got a shot to get out of the East. Jeff Carter, like I said, won 2 cups in L.A., but he played for Philadelphia before that. And he's never seen the Flyers win the cup. The Penguins are 9-3-1 without Gino, and that's interesting no matter how you choose to look at it. The Penguins won again yesterday, 5-2 at New Jersey. They swept 2 games from New Jersey over the weekend, Friday and yesterday, and the Devils look gutted and discouraged after that trade of Palmieri and Zajac. The Penguins only played okay over the weekend, but the Devils were easy pickings. Gensel got the hat trick yesterday. He was a third-round pick, like the Penguins just traded to get Jeff Carter. He was assisted twice by Brian Rust, who was also a third-round pick, just like the Penguins traded to get Jeff Carter. Colton Sevior got waived on Saturday, and he scored 2 goals yesterday after scoring 1 goal on Friday. That's pretty cool for a guy that got cut. Jake has 20 goals now. What a player Jake Gensel is. If the Penguins are ever totally healthy, some decent players will be in the press box, but that's okay. If they have a long playoff run, guys get hurt. You need all hands on deck. 2017, Ron Hainsey wasn't supposed to play at all in the playoffs. Wound up being a regular because of injury. And if guys get scratched at the start of the playoffs and you don't have a long playoff run, then what's the difference? Toronto got Nick Foligno. The team that never wins got a guy that never wins. It's a great match. Tampa gave up way too much for David Savard. He's a mediocre bottom pair defenseman, maybe a number 4 at best. And Tampa gave up a 1st and a 3rd. There sure is a rush on Columbus players. I know they're available because the Jackets stink, but they're a bunch of losers. Florida got Sam Bennett from Calgary. Some felt Pittsburgh might be interested. So I want your reaction to the Penguins' acquisition of Jeff Carter, 412-333-WXDX. I watched WrestleMania Saturday and Sunday. It was kind of meh. To me, only one match truly stood out, and that was Reigns, Edge, and Daniel Bryan last night, the three-way. Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair as the main event Saturday. It was very good. But Mania is supposed to be this showcase event, the card of the year, and it was, like I said, meh. It should be one night, 4 hours, and if you're not good enough to be on it, if you're not over enough to be on it, if your storyline's not compelling enough to be on it, then tough crap, you're just not on it. Hideki Matsuyama won the Masters. UMass won the Frozen Four at PPG Paints Arena. That's a good story. UMass was missing a few players because of COVID, but still won. I tried a Coors Pure over the weekend. It's good, but I still prefer Coors Light. I don't know that you need to fancy up a light beer with pure this, pure that. Just give me something I can get on my neck in about 30 seconds. We got hockey talk all day long at 3:30 from NHL.com. Our buddy Mike Zeisberger at 4:30. The Hall of Famer, the iconic Mike Lang, then at 5:30 to tell us about Jeff Carter and how he's played this year for the Kings. Dennis Bernstein, the LA Kings insider for SiriusXM and the NHL Radio Network. So your thoughts on Carter, 412-333-WXDX. Of course, we have the Bucko Roundup just around the corner. This is the Mark Madden Show, 105.9X.
And now the super genius, Mark Madden.
The cream comes to the top. I feel like I'm just bubbling over.
You wear pants while you're on the air? Because I wouldn't.
Who told you?
The X at 105.9.
It's time for today's Bucko Roundup. The Pirates won Saturday and they won yesterday. So they're now 3-6 on the season. Some pitcher yesterday, he drove in 3 runs and he pitched okay too. So he's the Pirates' Ohtani. That Evans, he was the Pirates' Ohtani. But now new Brubaker is the new Pirates' Ohtani. And on Saturday, Keller didn't stink like he had been. So the Pirates are only one game out of not last place. So that's the Bucko Roundup. Tune in tomorrow for another Bucko Roundup. I want your reaction to the Jeff Carter trade. Penguins Jeff Carter, how does he fit in? Where does he fit in? Who should he play with? And does he take the Penguins up a notch as far as being legitimate Stanley Cup contenders? Your thoughts at 412-333-WXDX. Let's go to Mike in the car. Mike, you're on with Double M.
Good day, Mr. Madden.
I said good day.
I think the biggest thing that Jeff is going to bring to the Penguins as a team and as a player is a net front presence.
Well, I don't know about that. He's more of a sniper than anything. He does go to the net. Yeah, he's 6'4". I don't know if he's a true net front presence like Hornquist. You don't want to put him on the first power play, I hope.
No. I was thinking more on maybe on the second unit, but just that size and with his shooting, and between his size and his shooting, I think he's going to be a good addition for the team. And
well, yeah, that's a reasonable role for him on the second power play. Thank you for the call, Mike. This guy on Twitter, Swerve City, he tweeted that Carter is a bona fide shooter on the second power play, and that helps. And he is, and it does. And he also points out that Carter is a volume shooter. And he does. He gets a lot of shots on goal. And that's good on the Penguins' third line, if indeed that is where he winds up. Here's one thing that worries me about the acquisition of Jeff Carter, though. Remember last year, Marlowe came in, and he stunk. He stunk right away. And then we had the COVID break. And if you'll recall, we got Marlowe because a bunch of guys were hurt. But then the COVID break gave guys time to heal up, including Jake Guentzel. But Marlowe was still in there anyway. And he was still out there at important times, which he should not have been once the team was healthy. But Mike Sullivan elected to pay Patrick Marlowe veteran respect that he earned somewhere else. It worries me that that's going to happen with Jeff Carter, too. That he'll get veteran respect based on winning cups in L.A. And maybe he replaces Rust on the top power play, even though Rust has 5 power play goals. Or he replaces McCann on the top power play, even though McCann leads the team in very limited power play duty, having scored 6 goals on the man advantage. That's one thing that worries me just a bit about the acquisition of Jeff Carter. I think Jeff Carter is definitely better than Patrick Marleau. Carter now is compared to Marleau then, but we will see. Try to keep track of the trades. Here's another one that involves an ex-Penguin. Eric Goodbranson, who some had speculated might come back to the Penguins, he has gone to the Nashville Predators for a seventh-round pick. That situation with the Nashville Predators, they were way out of the playoffs. They were going to trade Matthias Ekholm, maybe Philip Forsberg, and then they won a bunch of games. Now they're pretty solidly in a playoff berth, and they are adding, however slightly, and not subtracting. Let's go to Kenny on the south side. Kenny, you're on with Double M.
Honestly, I think it's a really good trade, and I think that they are cup contenders, and I know you haven't come to that conclusion yourself, but like in the Eastern Conference, who do you think has an opportunity?
Well, there's no Eastern Conference this year. It's four divisions.
No, I understand that, but who would beat them within the division then?
Any of the playoff teams, there's no conference. I'll remind you that one more time. You can keep using the word incorrectly if you'd like. But in the East Division, they could lose to any of the playoff teams. They could beat any of the playoff teams. The division is up for grabs. I don't know if Carter puts them above the pack. I think given that Palmieri and Zajac acquisition, that the New York Islanders are probably the favorites in the East. But, yeah, I think the Penguins got a shot to get out of the division.
Well, we've gone 6-2 against the Islanders this year.
Yeah, that's in the regular season.
Yeah, I guess that's...
You're right, they're going to win the Stanley Cup. Anything else, Kenny?
No, so you got the parade.
Yep, thanks. Yeah. Very good. That's pretty funny. Yeah, they got a shot to get out of the division. The division's up for grabs. You see, here's the thing, and you can probably tell in my general tone toward this trade. I like Jeff Carter. I think he'll come in and play pretty good. He's 36, but he can still fly. Old man can still skate. I just hate trading draft picks. And they've traded so many friggin' draft picks. And like I said earlier, the bill always comes due. Drafting just isn't about quality. It's about quantity. You want all your picks, a lot of picks. You throw crap at the wall and see what sticks. A lot of the Penguins' third-round picks have been crap. But they also got Rust, Letang, and Guentzel with third-round picks. And one of those just got traded to L.A. as part of a deal for a 36-year-old guy who might play the rest of this season, is under contract for next season, but may or may not play then. So, just saying, I hate to trade draft picks. Okay, up next, from NHL.com, it's our buddy Mike Zeisberger. We're talking NHL trade deadline here on the home of the Penguins, 105.9.
And now, the super genius, Mark Madden.
Double M, what's up? Hey, how you doing, Mark?
A lot of gibberish, a lot of booze, a lot of public urination.
The X at 105.9.
Okay, Mike Zeisberger is going to be delayed, I'm assuming because a trade just broke. Washington got Anthony Mantha, the forward from Detroit. He has 11 goals in 42 games, and they sent Verana and Panic back the other way. At least that's the nuts and bolts of the trade. We'll give you the details as they come in. I've never been that impressed with Anthony Mantha, and I like Verana. X of Washington, now with Detroit. Panic going the other way. Strikes me as a panic move. Get it? So now all the teams that seem to be legit contenders in the East have made a move. Pittsburgh gets Carter. The New York Islanders get Travis Zajac and Kyle Palmieri. Washington gets Mantha. And, of course, the Boston Bruins got Taylor Hall. So hopefully we'll be joined by Mike Zeisberger of NHL.com a little bit later. Oh, okay, there he is. Okay, joining me now from NHL.com to take stock in what's happened on today, trade deadline day, is the great Mike Zeisberger. Zeis, let's start with the obvious. What's your take on Jeff Carter coming to Pittsburgh, and how much does he help the Penguins?
I actually like the deal the Penguins made for Jeff Carter because for on a couple of couple of reasons. Number one, I think he's really versatile. I know that you guys have been talking about, you know, him playing up the middle, and is this an indication, you know, that maybe Gino is a little more hurt than, you know, they're letting on. I can't speak to that, but what I can say, Mark, is that this guy is a very versatile player, and he has moved to the wing in the past. I wouldn't be surprised if the Penguins just say, you know, if and when Gino does come back, they say, you know what, let's put this guy in the wing. You know, he's not the Jeff Carter of when the Kings were winning the Stanley Cup, but he's still got a lot of offensive talent. What I like about him is he's a power forward. He's not afraid to go into the corners, and he can protect the puck very well. So, and I also think that there's still a little gas in the tank on the power play. So I love the versatility. You know, I think that Sid is familiar with him from some of the Canadian national teams. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if there had been some conversations about that. So, yeah, I like the acquisition of Jeff Carter, and I definitely think he can help the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yeah, I agree with about 90% of what you say, Zeiss, and I think he is kind of Gino insurance because they sound very uncertain as to when Gino's going to come back, and that makes me wonder if they know for sure he's coming back at all. But I would bet Carter at least starts at center because they've really wanted to take that Bluger, Aston Reese, and Brandon Tanev line and use that as a fourth line in the same vein as the Islanders with that Cizikas line. And if yep. Carter's the third line center, I think that gives them the wherewithal to do just that.
No, I agree with you for sure, Mark. That again, we talk about his versatility. It makes the entire lineup deeper. It drops some guys in the order, maybe where they're a lot more comfortable. But like I said, I wouldn't be surprised too if this guy, you know, if the Penguins don't want to take her with the first power play unit, that this guy plays a role in the second power play unit. I mean, he's still an elite passer. Like I said, he can control the puck in the corners and on the flanks. And you know, I, again, for what the Penguins gave up for him, I think he was a pretty good acquisition. How far it'll take them? Is that enough to push them over the hump? I don't know. You look at some of the moves that have been done in the Eastern Conference. We just learned now that Anthony Mantha of the Detroit Red Wings reportedly has been sent to the Washington Capitals. So the Capitals get a little more firepower up front. So that's something to deal with. And of course, the Bruins going out and getting Taylor Hall. So the East is up for grabs. I think the fact that the Flyers have been bobbling a bit for a while now kind of at least gave some of those teams breathing room. But, you know, you look at the contenders in that division and, you know, in what's been a relatively slow trade deadline period, few days, you know, the top teams in the East have addressed you know, what they might think are some of their needs in the Eastern Conference. And you know, the Penguins had to do something, Mark. If they were going to stay, you know, in the mix, they had to do something. And let's face it, there weren't a lot of marquee guys available in the first place. So, you know, getting a guy like Jeff Carter to me is a good guess.
Now, what's your take on Boston getting Taylor Hall? Because I know what he used to be, Zeiss. But I've watched Buffalo play 6 or 7 times this year, and he's been absolutely invisible.
Well, and that's that. You know, Mark, that's the million-dollar or multi-million-dollar question. I mean, this is a guy that you know, I remember when he first came out in Edmonton, and you'd be at a game. He was the type of guy with his skating that you would never take your eyes off him. You couldn't, because you just followed him all around the ice because, you know, he stood out. But the fact remains, I mean, this is a guy, I think he's played in one playoff series. His production hasn't been what we've known. And so, you know, I don't think, here's the thing with Taylor Hall. I mean, he goes to Buffalo. I'm not sure he can be one of the guys, okay? But to go to Boston when you've got Pasternak and you've got Bergeron, and you've obviously got Marchand, he doesn't have to be the guy. He can, like he was in Buffalo with Eichel and Reinhardt, he can slip down to the second line where he's still playing with a good center like David Krejci. So, you know, there is some upside there. I don't know what to expect. I think Boston needed to shore up its defense a little more. And here's the other thing about, you know, when I mentioned Taylor Hall not being the guy, it kind of reminds me of Phil Kessel, where in Toronto with the spotlight on him and that wasn't what Phil was all about. But I remember predicting when they traded him to Pittsburgh that he would thrive because, you know, behind Crosby and Gino and guys like that, he could just go out and play. We'll see how much he has left in the tank. But I do know this, Mark, in Buffalo, and I know, you know, because of his no trade, Taylor Hall could kind of dictate where he went. And he said he wanted to go to Boston, but I don't care if the guy's got two goals. Don't you have to get more for him than a second round pick?
I don't know. I mean, I agree, but he only had two goals, so it's tough to argue. Yeah. And like you said, when he kind of cornered the Sabres into trading him to Boston, that lowered the price dramatically. What was your take when the Islanders got Palmieri and Zajac? Because they're still missing Anders Lee. But I got to tell you, Zeiss, I look at their depth now, and if I had to pick a team to get out of the East, I wouldn't be totally sold on New York, but out of the four, that's who I'd pick right now.
Well, and you know what? It's interesting that you mentioned that, because when you look at that team, and you mentioned the Cizikas line with Clutterbuck and Matt Martin, they might be the best fourth line in the league. And if you watch, a lot of times Barry Trotz will start that line in a game and then have them play in the last minute to defend. That's how deep that team is. And I thought it was, you know, Lou being Lou. You know what? I mean, why settle for one guy when you can get two? I agree with you so much. I love the depth top to bottom. Maybe after, you know, Barzal, they don't really have that wow star factor, but we've seen teams do very, very well in the playoffs that don't have to be like that, but can just keep rolling and rolling and rolling lines. And, by the way, Mark, I just wanted to bring up, I mean, you know, you look at some of the deals that were made, like, you know, Tampa gets David Savard, who I think is a good defenseman. Let's not confuse him with Serge Savard. Okay. This is one thing, and, you know, you've got to know Berkey a little bit, Brian Burke, who's now, you know, running the show down there in Pittsburgh. Berkey always said that the trade deadline day was the one day a year where every player in the league was overvalued, and that's what I think you're seeing a little bit now. I mean, we talk about Taylor Hall, and, yeah, he's got two goals, but, I mean, you know, circling back to the Lou Lamoriello thing, Lou gave up a first round pick, yeah, and you know, a prospect, but he got two starting players for it, not just one. So, you know, that is what I think is the brilliance of Lou. And every time people think this game is passing him by, I think that Lou passes the game by.
Now, you mentioned Savard. I thought Tampa Bay giving up the first and third was too much. And Toronto, the trade for Foligno, I love Foligno, and I think he's a pretty good fit, but I think they gave up a bit too much for him as well. But at least with Foligno, I could see the potential impact.
Well, and here's the thing. It brings me back to, I mean, I think it was a year ago, like the trade deadline from a year ago, which would have been 13 months ago, and what a 13 months that's been. But Foligno, you think about it, last year, I was in Tampa for the trade deadline, and they gave up a first-round pick for Barkley Goodrow. And I remember talking to their general manager, Julien Brisebois, at the time, and I said, that seems like a lot to give up. And he goes, you know, a lot of people are saying that. He said, but going into the trade deadline, we had guys identified What do we need? Which guys fit in here to take us, that we think take us to the next step? And one of those guys was Barkley Goodrow. Okay. Am I saying they won the cup because of that? No. But they were willing to overpay for somebody that was the need, the fit in the puzzle. And, you know, getting Coleman from Jersey was another one of those steps. So, you know, the bottom line is, Julian Brisebois said, if you got to overpay for somebody that you really want, that thinks that is that piece that you're missing, then you should go out and do it. And I think that's the case with the Toronto Maple Leafs. I mean, let's face it, Mark, if we're going on pure talent and the Leafs were playing Columbus in those play-ins last year, I mean, nobody thought that Columbus had the more talented team, especially up front. But, you know, between Dubois and Foligno, they just willed themselves against the Leafs team that does not know how to win in the postseason. I mean, they have not won a postseason series since before the salary cap era, 2004. So when you take all that into account, to me, going into the trade deadline, Nick Foligno was the number one priority for the Leafs. I've said it publicly. I've written it. I've been on radio, television saying it. And, you know, did they pay a high price? Yes. But the Leafs don't need goal scorers. They didn't need Taylor Hall. And there were no stud defensemen out there. So if you're going to go for it, at least get a piece that matches what you're trying to do. And so many times we've seen teams, you know, get pieces that don't really fit. I think that Nick Foligno is a great fit. And by the way, he's, you know, his dad, Mike Foligno, briefly played for the Leafs and helped the Leafs go to the 93 Stanley Cup final. Semifinals. And so one of the first things that Nick did when he learned of the trade is phone Mike and say, well, you're going to have to get used to another 71 darting all around the ice. So it's a pretty cool story. And he is just so excited to come. And you know what, Mark, as you know, it wasn't that long ago where a lot of players didn't want to come to Toronto, but that seems to have changed in the last few years.
Zeiss, is it just me, or it didn't seem like the trade deadline was as busy as usual? There were some interesting deals that we've talked about, but not as many as we've seen in the past. Was that because of the flat cap, or because so many teams are still in contention to make the playoffs? I mean, look how Nashville dug out, and everybody thought they'd put Ekholm and Forsberg up for trade.
Yeah, Nashville actually traded for a defenseman. So they actually added as opposed to subtract. But, no, you were right on your first two things. And the other thing, and I had a general manager, I was speaking to a Western Conference general manager in the last couple of days. And one of the things he said that I thought was interesting was, you know, you go to your owner, and we're not talking about the big market teams that just make money the second they step on the ice, but some of the other teams, you don't know if you're a buyer or seller. You don't know if you're actually a contender or a pretender. So you're kind of in no man's land. And then you go to your owner and say, well, you know what? Because a lot of these teams get revenue, playoff revenues, it's like, can we guarantee that if we make a big deal, we can make a deep playoff run, which, by the way, depending on what city you're in, you're not going to get the revenues from spectators because either they're not allowed in or there's only a limited amount of spectators allowed. So it's financially, he said, it's not only the flat cap, but it's the fact that you're not getting those in-house revenues from the spectators attending, which for a lot of teams is important in the playoffs. So some owners just say, you know what, right now, let's not take the risk. And let's look at next year when hopefully the world is, you know, at least in some semblance, normal again.
Zeiss, great stuff. I appreciate you taking the time on such a busy day, my friend. Always terrific to talk to you. Hopefully we'll talk again soon.
Anytime, my friend, and you and your family stay healthy. And that goes the same for all the great people of Pittsburgh.
Thanks. That's Mike Zeisberger. Check him out at NHL.com. Yeah, that trade that just moved right before Zeiss came on, Anthony Mantha goes from Detroit to Washington in exchange for Ponick, Vrana, and some other considerations we're not sure about yet. And right away, Jonathan Bombulli from the Trip tweeted, is it just me or is Vrana a better player than Mantha? I think Vrana is a better player than Mantha, but a disclaimer, Verana's always played really good against the Penguins. So maybe that's why JB and I both think that. Also, Ron Hextall talked to the media. Josh Yowie just tweeted, listen to this. Brandon Tanev probably won't be ready for the start of the playoffs. No idea what his injury is, but that ain't good. Kasperi Kapanen sounds like he's going to be back in 2 weeks. And here's the same story we've been hearing. Malkin expected back before playoffs. That's just not exact enough for me to buy into. But I'm hoping. 412-333. My God, I just thought they finally going to realize their dream of having the Bluger line as the fourth line. And now it's going to be Bluger, Zach Aston-Reese, and I don't know, maybe Gaudreau. Your reaction to the Carter trade and to this Tanev news, 105.9 EX.
And now the super genius, Mark Madden.
This is one of those two-chain strap, bring the duct tape type of affairs.
What the?
They're going to make us play a wild card game. It's not fair. It's not fair. It's not fair.
The X at 105.9.
Here's that deal the Capitals made. I think Steve Yzerman, the Detroit GM, committed highway robbery. Capitals get Anthony Mantha. Detroit gets Jacob Verana, who I think's a better player than Anthony Mantha. Detroit also gets Richard Ponick, which is more of a cap dump by the Capitals. But Detroit also got Washington's first-round pick this year and their second-round pick next year for Anthony friggin' Mantha. Like Zeiss just said, no player's ever worth more than he is on trade deadline day, so I get it, but that is just too big a price to pay if you're Washington, especially when Verana and Ponick, I mean, they fit in so good. They had roles and they executed them. Penguins got Jeff Carter for a third and a fourth. I want your reaction, 412-333-WXDX. Here's another interesting stat about Jeff Carter. He had 8 goals in 40 games this year, which isn't a ton, but 6 of those 8 were at or near the net front. Now, I don't see him as a net front presence like Patrick Hornquist. He has a touch of the power forward about him because he's 6'4", but he ain't Kevin Stevens. I think he just reads plays down around the blue paint. He's opportunistic, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's kind of how Jake Guentzel operates, albeit being much smaller down near the front of the net. No Quarter brought to you by CW Electrical Services. Make the switch at cwelectricalservices.com. So I want your take on the Carter trade. Carter is on his way to Pittsburgh as we speak. I guess he'll be available for Thursday night's game against his old team, the Philadelphia Flyers. Brian Burke spoke to the media and he said, I don't think anyone had to sell Carter on coming here. We're the Pittsburgh Penguins. We're not going to kiss anyone's butt to come play here. He thought he'd finish his career in L.A., so it was more a case of getting him comfortable with a possible destination, unquote. And Berkey continued, quote, we believe this team is capable of making some noise, especially adding Jeff. We had chances to move some guys out and refused to do so. These guys have worked so hard. We've got good chemistry. And we'll start getting healthy here pretty soon, unquote. Although, as I just noted, Ron Hextall said that Tanev probably won't be available for the start of the playoffs. Malkin, they keep saying he'll be back before the playoffs. I'll believe that when I see it. And Kapanen is expected back in 2 weeks. So, 412-333-WXDX is the number to call. In just a moment, we're going to talk about Jared McCann. I got a tremendous stat with the Penguins that I just love. The numbers don't lie, and they spell disaster for you at sacrifice. And former Pirate Joe Musgrove pitched a no-hitter, and a lot of people are interpreting that as an indictment of the Pirates for trading Musgrove, but I do not see it that way. It's the Mark Madden Show, 105.9 The X.